Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
20 years ago, one of the true legends of football, Nicky Winmar, confronted racism head on by lifting his shirt and pointing to his skin. The AFL went into panic mode and did a whole heap of stuff around racism, including instigating an organisation called AFL Diversity, which continues to do excellent work throughout the country today. Of course, racism is again in the news, and I wanted to know exactly how that is going to play out as far as AFL accepting the LGBTI community. And to help us with that, my two favourite gay footy players, Jason Ball and Sean Towner. Welcome to you both.
Thank you, Dean. What a team we are, Sean. What a team.
I agree. So the at least we're Dean's favourite there, Jason.
Jason, let's start with you. Nicky Winmar's very public display transformed a nation.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think it's going to take, you know, someone with the same amount of guts and bravery that Nicky Winmar showed to take the stand that he did for a gay player to come out and to be themselves. And I think that if we look at what's happening today with Adam Goods, I have no doubt that that would be weighing heavily on the minds of any gay players to see the kind of humiliation and ridicule that is being directed towards Adam Goods at the moment just for simply standing up and being himself and being proud of who he is.
Sean Towner, the AFL have spent a lot of money over the last 20 years invested in getting its crowd in the stands to embrace all players regardless of who they are. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't sledge them for being on the opposite team, but it means that you respect them for who they are.
Correct. And I think that's the important thing as well, Dean, that, you know, it doesn't matter who you are, as long as you can play the game, that's the most important thing. And I think, you know, Nicky Winmar and, you know, Adam Goods and guys like this have shown that you can be, you know, you can be outspoken, you can be fantastic players, and that's fine. It doesn't really matter who you are, what you do with people outside of football. You know, it doesn't matter what race you are, what religion you are, what sexuality you might identify with. If you can play the game, you can play the game.
There's been a lot of umming and ahhing as to justifying the crowd's booing of Adam Goods. I'm not going to go there because I think it was simply appalling behaviour to begin with. But Jason, I don't think it indicates that the AFL is ready for a gay player.
I think the most challenging part of what we've seen with Adam Goods has been that the racism, and I would call it racism, has been quite subtle. And I think there's a lot of parallels you can draw between subtle racism and, say, heteronormativity and subtle homophobia. And I draw the parallel saying, you know, there's a lot of people who would get very defensive if you said that they were homophobic because they said a homophobic slur. If that slur wasn't actually directed at someone who was gay, then, you know, what's the harm? They're not actually homophobic people. And in the same way, people might come up with all sorts of reasons why they want to boo Adam Goods and claim till they die that that they're not racist people. But what is missing from this conversation is the impact that it has. What people are focusing too much on are what their intentions are. It doesn't matter what your intentions are. What matters is the impact that it's having. In the same way that people don't intend to cause harm when they use a homophobic slur, and they might not actually be homophobic people, but if a young person hears that, it does actually have a significantly detrimental impact on their psychological well-being and self-esteem. And so that's what the focus needs to be to in order to help people change that behaviour.
Sean Towner, you, like Jason, are an ambassador for Beyond Blue. One of the things that I took away from the whole Adam Goods affair that I think is to be commended is that Adam Goods took time out.
Yes, yeah, and I think when you know when you're confronted with such such a barrage of excuses for, I agree with Jason, it's just hiding you know, racist behaviour. You know, it's going to have that sort of that detrimental effect to your mindset. And you know, I totally agree with Jace that offence isn't given; it's taken. So Jace is right. You need to focus on what the impact is of what the words are. And I think Jace and I are both on the record of saying that the biggest impact to us was the casual homophobia, because if people don't, you know, if they're going to talk about someone of their race or someone being gay in a negative context, then they don't respect gay people, and if they don't respect gay people, then in the same vein, they don't respect me or us. And you know, for Adam to take time out of the game and you know be strong enough to say, look, this is actually having an impact on me and my mental health, I think that sort of shows the character of the man and sort of shows what kind of a person that Adam Goods is.
We're speaking with Sean Towner and Jason Ball. Jason, you've said previously that if homophobia can't be pointed at, and that only remains true until we have a gay player come out on the field. You've said that racism is clearly identifiable because it's directed at someone with the colour of their skin. Homophobia isn't. And that only, like I said, happens if someone doesn't come out, which goes back to my point, the AFL's not ready.
Well, look, I mean, the thing is with the kind of racism that we're seeing is that this actually has been a form of subtle racism in the way that people are acting one way and saying another thing. And I think what needs to be highlighted here is the uncomfortableness that a lot of white Australians do feel, and the defensiveness that a lot of white Australians encounter when they are confronted with the often shameful history of Australians and their treatment of Indigenous people, especially the first settlers. Adam Goods created a lot of controversy when he made the call on Australia Day that this is not the best day to be celebrating Australia because it's the day that a lot of Indigenous people were slaughtered. That's quite confronting for a lot of Australians to hear, a lot of white Australians, and most white Australians want to put their head in the sand and pretend like that doesn't exist because they're proud of their country and they're proud of the world that they know around them today, and they don't want to be reminded of those things. And I think that... Pardon me. You do need to have all of these things in context when you look at the kind of reactions people have to Adam Goods and the stand that he's taken. And then when you're hearing their excuses for why they want to boo him, it just doesn't stack up. And so in that sense, I think that the AFL is probably not nuanced enough to really understand that this is racism. And they haven't been willing to call it out early enough for exactly what it is.
Sean Towner, Jason seems to want to avoid the question, and the question is the AFL are not ready to have someone on the field who is gay, because then all of the homophobic comments are directed at a person and not at a team or a sort of nebulous thing in the ether.
Yeah, look, it's an interesting concept. Look, I still believe the AFL is ready, or the AFL as a whole is ready for a player to come out. Now, the AFL executive and the AFL as a business might not be ready to support that person as much as they might need as yet.
Gillon McLachlan's leadership on this particular issue with Goods has been appalling. He needs to get off the polo field and start to focus on the game that he's in charge of.
That's where the executive need to 100% step up. So from the crowd sort of follow the pack mentality or the sheep mentality and start booing for reasons they don't know just because other people around them are. But when you look at the support coming from other players, other clubs, I think I read somewhere today that Geelong and Sydney were going to go through a joint banner on the weekend in support of Adam Goods. The support is there, but it's just the executive that needs to put the framework in place to support this a person who does want to come out. And I really do think the crowd will will self-police in if someone was to boo or to have a crack at someone for being gay. Now, the Adam Goods thing, people, it's the water's muddied about, you know, why people are saying they are booing Adam Goods. I believe it's, you know, it's 100% racially motivated, but you know, people could hide behind the fact that no, it's just because I don't like what he does, or you know, don't like who he is, or because he dies, or whatever. If they're having a go at a person simply for being gay, there's no way to hide that, and I think that's the real key for mine. So I really do think the AFL as a whole is ready, but I think the executive needs to really take a stand and show their support for someone who does feel comfortable in coming out. Otherwise, it won't happen.
It was reported today in Pink News that President Obama has told young African leaders that homophobia comes from the same mindset as racism. He said, "The truth of the matter is that you're treating people differently just because of who they love and who they are. And there's a connection between the mindset and the mindset that led to racism and the mindset that leads to ethnic conflict. It means you're not able to see somebody else as a human being." Jason, back to the question of Gillon McLachlan and leadership. Should I send him what Obama just said?
Yeah, no, look, fair call. And I think that there are some really good parallels to draw between the two. And I think at the end of the day, when we look at the human condition, you know, we are almost designed in a way to fear difference a little bit. And that's something that we as a social creature, we need to overcome. Those tendencies that we have, and we need, and we do that through experience and forming relationships and connections and personal stories. You know, people who know someone who is gay are far less likely to hold discriminatory views towards those people because they know them as friends and as human beings. And so, you know, it will probably take an AFL player to come out to really get people to connect on that issue, but I think, like as Sean was saying, you know, I actually think that there likely would be people who would boo or sledge that player, make up reasons for why they're booing him and sledging that apparently has nothing to do with their sexuality. But I think that that would be there. And I think that what we've witnessed here with Adam Goods is probably sending people further into the closet.
Sean Towner, as you continue to play footy these days, has your experience since coming out meant that you've had to endure things that are, I guess, directed at you but done in such a way that you can't grab hold of it and point to it?
Look, to be honest, no. So my immediate club and even my league have been quite supportive, and you know, before I come out, the occasional, you know, sort of gay joke and homophobic sort of slur wasn't necessarily said in a negative context and directed at me. Was, you know, that was the norm. But now, you know, look, I'll be honest, guys still do say it, but they actually catch themselves, you know, saying the word poof or fag or homo or whatever. They catch themselves saying it and they actually put up their hand and do the, you know, oh shit, I'm sorry, mate, apology sort of thing. So, you know, it's something that it's still there, and it's a culture thing. It's something that's not going to change overnight. And you know, I think Jason had a good point about having that connection. All the players at my club now have the connection to me, so I know they actually attempt to stamp out, you know, their casual use of those sort of words.
I guess it's
their everyday life.
It's a hell of a difference between 80 people at a suburban ground and 45,000 people yelling out "poof" in unison.
Yeah, I agree. And look, I think one of the drawbacks is that in a crowd of 45 or 60,000 people, you know, you can be drowned out. So you know, you can actually say it with some form of anonymity. But I think that. I really do think that, you know, people in the crowd will start to self-police. And look, it won't happen automatically, won't happen overnight, but it's something that really will turn around. And when Nicky Winmar did stuff his jumper, it didn't turn around straight away. There was a process that was put in place, and we were getting to a better place with it. Unfortunately, a few things in the last years have probably taken us a backward step, but we're certainly in a much better place now than we were in the early 90s with racism. And I think it's just a matter of course that this will get better for the LGBTI playing sports community, that it won't go away, but it will get better as more and more stories are told and more, as Chase calls them, connections are made. You know, it's a person who might come out from the Essendon Footy Club. Yeah, he might be derided by other clubs, other club supporters, but his supporter base will really, really get behind him.
Jason Ball, Sean just made reference then to the education and the framework that the AFL have put into place since Nicky Wingmar's lifting of his shirt. That includes a whole department in AFL diversity. No such thing exists for the LGBTI community, nor does any framework of education to the point that racism has been tackled exist within the AFL. How much longer do we have to wait?
We shouldn't have to wait any longer. You're right in pointing out that we don't have that within the AFL in the same respect for the LGBTI community, and very simply we should. And that's become more clear to me as time has gone on, that this is an area with which the AFL really are lacking. They know how to do meaningful engagement through diversity and through education programs, and they've done that to a large extent within Indigenous communities and within multicultural and ethnic, linguistically diverse communities. They know what that model looks like. They just need to reframe it for an LGBTI and put some resources into it. To date, they haven't done that. That's disappointing. And I think what we're going to find is that the AFL, as certain clubs move quicker, as organisations that are more nimble, like the AFL Players Association, move quicker, that the AFL is actually going to be left behind and are going to be caught unaware, especially when a player does come out or when something like a Pride game happens in the next season.
Your good friend Jill Stark had a cover story last weekend of St Kilda wanting a Pride match for next year. No real breaking news story there, but how transformative would such an event be, do you think?
Look, I think the breaking news there was perhaps the interest from the Victorian government through the new Gender and Sexuality Commissioner in Rowena Allen. I think adding her voice to that initiative would be really powerful. I think the Victorian government here have done some fantastic things within the LGBTI community in terms of policies and frameworks and initiatives, and to be able to bring them into the conversation and almost show up the AFL in a way, I'd be very happy to see that happen. I think an initiative like that, if done at the national level, has the potential to be incredibly powerful, but only if it's done properly. And by properly, I mean not window dressing, not just putting a 50-metre line with a rainbow over it and think that that's going to solve the problem of homophobia, but actually creating the conversations in the community that includes to fans, that includes to the players and the officials within the AFL, about what are the challenges that the LGBTI community face in sport and what are the measures that we can all do to turn that around.
I reckon it would be a very poor indictment on the AFL if they said that they couldn't afford to fund LGBTI awareness and education programs and had to wait for the Victorian government to step in and fund it accordingly.
Look, you know, this model has worked in the past in terms of the last time that the AFL were able to do the kind of face-to-face education sessions around respect and responsibility towards women. They did that in partnership with the Victorian government, so I'm not adverse to that model. I do think it's disappointing that the AFL can't go it alone. I think they can go it alone if they had the will, but at least if there were some other partners involved, whether it's the government, whether it's corporate partners, whether it's community partners, you know, the AFL shouldn't necessarily have to go it alone. But I think when it comes to resources, it's not something that the AFL are lacking. And so I would like to see them put their money where their mouth is.
Sean Towner, thank you very much for joining us on the line today. Thank you for your insights. Jason Ball, always a delight. Thank you. Hope you're feeling better soon.
Yeah, sorry about that. Thank you, guys.
My pleasure, Dan.
I tried to leave my cough away from the microphone here on the phone, but I'm sorry if it's right in your ear.
Thank you both very much.
Cheers.
Thanks, guys.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.